The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
Her plan looks like he won't fight. He ain't doing nothing. I think yesterday ended up going the way we were hoping it would go for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
What? Yesterday was a good day for the Packers.
No, it was.
I feel good. I feel better. They put together a good effort. Looks like they won some. Looks like they lost some. Everybody seemed to be pleased walking away. My guess is we don't see really any of the starters.
No,
and we should. Tomorrow in the game, and we're on to the Philadelphia Eagles.
But, because if you read the Green Bay side of it,
yeah,
there's a little gushiness, there's a little toaddom, but if you go to the Baltimore side and read their websites,
yeah,
they said it was excellent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's kind of a push. We said that yesterday. Push is good. Push is fine. Good. Push is, all right, let's go. Fine. Right?
Yeah, that's what you feel. I feel much better. It doesn't seem like much we are better. Going. It doesn't seem like we are going to be getting a quote from Matt LaFleur after the game about how he is not pleased with his team's effort in the game or joint practice.
But do people understand how if you're not ready to play, it's going to translate to the field?
Yeah.
Like, if you have a bad week of practice,
okay,
you ain't going to play well. That's a real thing. I don't think people think that's real.
Why do you think people don't think that's real?
I just think
that, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to figure out, because I agree, but I'm trying to figure out why.
Because people think there's a switch. They believe in a switch.
Okay.
They believe in the switch. Like the Bucs. Hey, you're playing kind of like crap. Just flip the switch. Flip the switch. It'll work. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. Now, in some rare instances,
yes,
it may work. But I'm telling you, you have a bad week of practice or whatever, or you're not mentally ready. How many times do I bring up Philadelphia game?
A lot.
We are going to win. We are probably 10-point spread. I wasn't into it for whatever reason, and I dropped two balls or three balls. That's a real thing.
Got popped by a fan afterwards.
Jerk. I deserved it. But it's a real
still
thing.
One of my favorite people,
why? Because you just like kicking me in the jimmy?
Well, no, because
snake biting my jewels.
If what happened to you, for anybody not familiar, again, after the game, Chewy had dropped three balls against Philadelphia. Packers are playing, you know, Packers lose the game. And after the game, what happened? Somebody asked
after
you for an autograph.
After the game, you know, I'm in a bad mood. No, I didn't play well. And back then, it was just a chain link fence. There might have been a wrap around there, but people would climb up because it was probably a 6-foot chain link fence and they'd over the top and. Hey, Chewy, can I get your autograph? Bad mood. Just, not today. I don't feel like it. Catch the ball. What do you say to that?
See, that's...
I mean, what do you say?
But
he's not wrong.
The reason why I love the story is because you admit, like, he's got me. Like, that's why I love
that
it.
Was a good zing.
Yeah. Like, you're, okay, what can I do? Whereas you've told the story of Frank being upset with Bob McGinn because McGinn wrote something bad about him. Like, you're always willing to accept the barb if you know you played poorly.
What's right, like, is right.
Yeah. What am I going to do? He's got me. I played poorly. That's why I enjoy the stories, because you just, I sucked. I got to eat that for
Isn't
that
it
guy.
Amazing, though, something that happened 1998? What is that? 26 years ago?
26 years ago, yeah.
Still remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you can see the guy's face.
Do you guys have that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You have that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Josh,
I can remember and find detail like awkward moments I had from years ago that were totally insignificant, but it made me super uncomfortable, so I'll never forget.
You know who covered me in that game? A good part of the game? See if you can guess. And there's a connection, yes, to Green Bay.
Al Harris?
Well, very good. I told you that before.
I don't know if you told me that Al covered you in that game, but you have talked about how when he covered you, it was tough. Like, he was good.
He was good. He was good because he wouldn't let me get to him.
Yeah.
You know? Because if you let me get to him, I'm going to flip and smack you upside the head, because you could do that back then. But he was a good player. Very good player. Probably underrated.
Al? A little bit, I would say. I think the Packers fan base really appreciated him. He's in the Packers Hall of Fame. You know, him and Charles went in together a couple of years ago.
Isn't that who Jen had the rub with?
What do you mean?
Remember I said, do you ever have any players come back at you because of what you asked?
Oh, I think she did have
it. Was that him? I think it was.
I thought she told that story. Yeah, there was something with Al.
Yeah, he's a good player. He played nickel back then.
Yeah.
For Philadelphia.
For Philadelphia, before he came to Green Bay. Became a full-time starter.
So, back to the script. I feel good. They're fine. Starters don't have to play.
This is exactly what I needed. This is because all week I have not been feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you talk about it for whatever reason it happens, but still, like, okay, you know you're not playing in the game.
Yes.
Put together a pretty good effort, because to me that scrimmage or the joint practice is your game. And they, for whatever reason, didn't do it last week against Denver. Seemingly they put it together this week, which is good.
If you notice one major difference, Matt LaFleur hasn't told any of the starters whether they are playing or not.
Well, that's what he should do.
It would be rather unconventional for them to play three snaps to start a game, not play the second, and then play the third. But hey, if you can convince them that we might have to go out there, it certainly seems to have changed the attitude.
You want to know what would have happened back in the day if he did tell the players?
What?
Hey, Shamar, you want to go have some pops or what? That's why you don't tell them.
Okay.
All right? And it looked like he learned from LaFleur, I'm talking, learned from his mistake last week against Denver.
I mean, I think they kind of knew that as long as they performed decent that they weren't going to play.
And they're not going to play.
No.
Isn't there also a certain level of just, I need you guys to be professionals?
In regards to what?
You're not going to play in this game, but please show up for joint practice.
Oh, I think that's implied. Yeah.
However, you, as you're telling us, you guys need that because you'll then just dink around.
Of course. Yes. That's the motivator. Right?
So what you're telling me is that the professional is not always present in football player.
You guys actually think there was some level of professionalism?
I'd like to think so from time to time.
You're 24, like 25, 26 years old.
You I gotta believe
staying in when you got a chance to go and have a few pops.
I gotta believe there's a handful of people who take it very seriously.
Guys that don't drink.
I was gonna say, like a Luke Kuechly. I can't imagine he ever got caught up in like, let's go have some pops.
Hold on. I told you the Buffalo story.
What's that?
When Brett and Frank blew off curfew in Toronto?
But that wasn't
with the game the next day.
But that wasn't their fault.
Speaking from a former professional athlete, yes, it's always someone else's fault.
Wasn't that Jim Kelly's fault?
Of course it was. He dared him. You can't let that go. And Jim Kelly was doing the TV broadcast the next day. And you know who also got yelled at by Holmgren?
You.
Jim Kelly.
Oh, Jim Kelly. Wait. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let me get this straight. You guys are playing Buffalo in an exhibition game in Toronto.
Yes.
Jim Kelly, recently retired, soon to be Hall of Fame quarterback. Tells Brett.
You want me to tell the whole story?
Yes, please.
How much time we got? Yeah, I can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got time.
We go to Toronto. We're playing the Buffalo Bills. I think it's the fourth preseason game. We probably have one more after that. So we're scheduled to play probably first quarter, right? So we have a function that night. It's kind of, I forget what they called it. There was American Bowl or something like that. So we go to a function at night where Buffalo's there, and we're there. We have to be there for probably an hour, eat dinner, mingle with people, and then we're cut loose until 11 o'clock. So we get cut loose, me, Brett, and Frank, Jim Kelly, Jim knows Toronto because, you know, it's not it's very right far from Buffalo. So he took us to a few spots. 10:30, hey, we got to get going. Jim Kelly starts in at Brett. You don't have the seat to blow off curfew. Well, actually, he did. And I didn't know because I'm living with Jeff Thomason, and I'm the floor below. So I wake up the next morning, go down to meetings. Andy Reid walks over to me. He's like, where the hell were you at last night? I'm like, what are you talking about? I was there at bed check. Where were your buddies? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't seen them yet. So there's tenseness. You could just feel it in the air. So we go into the team meeting room. Everyone's in there. O-line here. Quarterbacks here. Receivers here. I'm trying to get information. I'm like, what the hell happened last night? So in walks Frank's over there. Holmgren walks over to Frank, taps him on the shoulder, and just gives him, come with me. And I just hear screaming in the hallway, right? Mm-hmm. So then I know something's up. Mississippi, instead of going sitting with the quarterbacks, comes and sits right next to me, cleaning his ears. And I'm like, get away from me. Get out of here. I want nothing to do with that. What happened? So they snuck out, obviously. Frank's getting yelled at. So I get the story kind of from Brett. So they sneak out, stay out till 3 in the morning.
With Jim Kelly.
Yes. They're a little inebriated.
Sure.
So they propped open the door to the hotel, you know, the side entrance fire exit. So they're inebriated. They sneak into the hotel, get in the elevator, and Frank goes, there's no 12th floor. They're in the wrong hotel. They're in the wrong hotel. So make a long story short, they go back to the room. Brett wakes up the next morning. This is the year after we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
His ring is gone. His Super Bowl ring is gone. And he put it right on the dresser.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is Jerry Perrins, the security officer who did bed check,
mm-hmm.
took his ring. Because they weren't in there.
Yeah.
And all I hear...
Kind of get him to freak out.
So Sherm Lewis is up there trying to conduct the meeting.
Sherm was the OC at the time.
And all you hear is Brett and more Mike yelling at Frank. And then his last line is... priceless. Holmgren's going, I'm going to find both your asses as much as I can in the CBA. And all you hear is Frank go, hey, Mike, you should be thanking me. Because if I didn't go out with him last night, he probably still wouldn't even be here. And then it got quiet. And he never, ever, not once said a word to Brett.
Well, no. I mean, Brett was the golden child.
Yes. Thank God they didn't come and get me.
Oh,
I might have got caught.
You're not getting caught.
I would have been Frank.
Oh, yeah.
In the hallway,
and
I wouldn't have been smart enough
to give
to
the
come
response.
Up.
Yeah, to give the response that Frank did.
Wow, I remember that like it was yesterday.
It's Jim Kelly's fault. He's
Jim Kelly
got
yelled at next day. Holmgren's yelling at Jim Holmgren's Kelly.
Holmgren's yelling at away team broadcast or opposing
he's
team
retired.
Broadcasters.
Yeah.
He's a broadcaster. He's nothing to do with your team.
That's a top five story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jim Kelly daring Brett to go out.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, the Packers looked, you know, good yesterday. We'll get the report on how good they looked with Jason Wilde as he joins us next on Jed and Gabe and Chew.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde, joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can't wait to get his reaction to what he saw on the practice field yesterday. Because, again, for the most part, it seems like the Packers performed well. They had their ups, they had their downs, but it seems like last week when they were in Denver, it was all downs.
Yeah.
You know, like they didn't get...
Well, clearly now we know that they weren't ready to play. That was just a bad trip from the practice all the way through the game. Now that explains it.
Jason Wilde was at the practice yesterday, Packers-Ravens. Good morning, Jason.
I wasn't ready to play yesterday, but I pushed through. So I'm happy to report on what I saw.
Did you come out okay? Injuries? No, you're good?
I got a little groin.
Little groin? I'll be fine. Okay. Yeah. You didn't get yelled at, though, did you?
I did not, no. There's nobody really there to yell at me, though, after earlier in the week. That was one yelling was enough, I thought. Although I did hear, so LaFleur talked before practice, which is inconvenient for me because it's during our wildly popular radio program. And I heard that Wayne Larrabee came in late. So I was a little disappointed that I didn't hear anything about the head coach getting after him a little bit. So, but yes, I was. Look, what you were just saying while I was coming on is exactly right. Like, they just weren't. They're just not that into you, Broncos, right? Like, they just didn't seem to. And I wasn't there. I'm going to go wherever they go next year. I really want to go because I'm super curious. Because I thought that the Ravens, while not disinterested, you know, is there some sort of home field advantage for joint practices? Because the Packers had much more success yesterday. And while I do think that they made it very clear as a coaching staff that you got to get your you-know-what together, I also think that it may just help to be on your home turf.
But, Jason, I went on the Baltimore website, and they said it was excellent.
Yeah, that's because John Harbaugh said it was excellent. I didn't think they were – look, let me be clear. I don't think they were – the Ravens put on a performance like the Packers apparently did in Denver, where, you know, the head coach is talking about how his team was humbled by the performance. But, you know, when you do six – 2-minute drills to end practice, and the three Packers offenses all get the field goal to force overtime, and the three Ravens offenses all get stopped without points, I don't think you could say it's excellent.
No.
The red zone drills, you know, the Packers offense, I think they had four touchdowns. The number one offense had like four touchdowns in six plays. I think the Ravens offense only had one or two. I mean, again, it's practice. We shouldn't read too much into it, even if it's with another team. But the Packers won the day. Like, if they were doing that push-up thing that they do with the Packers offense versus the Packers defense, it would have been the Ravens doing the push-ups. That's for sure.
So who was more impressive, offense or defense, or was it a push?
So it's a little hard to try and watch both at the same time and do the radio show. So it was not ideal conditions for me. But again, I'm a professional. I pushed through. Mm-hmm. I did see some of the defense. You know, there was if they are as legit as they have appeared to be, both against the Packers starting offense and in terms of generating a pass rush against the Ravens. I think they're going to cause some problems for teams with what they can do in terms of generating pressure. But I thought the offense, you know, first of all, the Packers offense started sluggishly. Jordan Love threw a pick. Roquan Smith made a fabulous play. Like, he went up. Love thought he could put the ball over Roquan Smith and drop it in to Jaden Reed, who was running a crossing route. And Roquan Smith, I don't know what his vertical is, but he got up big time and picked it off. But then, you know, a little bit later when they had the red zone, when they had to move the ball period, they looked a lot sharper. I'll say this too, and Love talked about him afterward. Let me be very clear. I am not comparing him to the knucklehead on this show that I talk to 3 days a week. But Tucker Kraft has had a very good camp since he got onto the field. And Love's quote yesterday was, "We can feel his presence out there," which I don't know if that was ever said about Jeff Thomason as much as I love him. And so, and I'm not saying that, you know, he has usurped Luke Musgrave. I'm not saying any of that. But he has had, for a guy who is coming off a torn pec and a guy who did not start taking part in 11-on-11 until like a week and a half ago, you know, and Jordan joked about how he's got fresh legs, which all you guys do when a guy misses time with injury and then comes in when you guys have all been working. But he has been impressive. And so he had a couple of catches yesterday again where you're like, oh, my gosh, 85. And by comparison, you know, and this is not a rip on Luke Musgrave, but he has not had a lot of, you always heard me talking about wild throws. He has not had a lot of wild plays. And that may mean absolutely nothing, and maybe he's a savvy second-year veteran who knows how to pace himself in training camp, but Musgrave's the one who's been quiet, and Kraft has been the one who's really been noticeable.
Why do you think that? How did Kraft come on to this point? Because at this time last year, it was all Musgrave. Kraft was getting some snaps on the field and then looked awesome once he got the opportunities when Musgrave had the unfortunate injury.
Musgrave looks a little mechanical to me.
Sure.
A little bit mechanical.
Sure, there. But like, I mean, how often, Chewy, did you see a guy go from, it seemed like it was going to be basically a redshirt year last year for Tucker Kraft, right, Jason, until the injury?
Yeah, I mean, he, in fairness to him, and I don't want to sully the good name of the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, but it is a jump from that level to this level, right? I mean, you know, it's not the same as making the jump from Boston College, but he's got a little Chewy to him. Like he's got really good size. He blocks like hell. Even if his technique, which might also be true of Chewy, even if his technique isn't always pure, he knows how to be effective. And then he doesn't run as fast as Musgrave. He doesn't necessarily look like, you know, JerMichael Finley, but he gets open, and that was you. And so again, every time I do this, now in about an hour and a half, it'll get back to Tausch, and then he'll, you know, I compared last week or 2 weeks ago, I compared Xavier McKinney to Charles Woodson in that he has had this influence over that group like Charles did on Al and on Tremont Williams, where he just has that it factor that guys are drawn to him. And I know we've talked about this before on this show, that he has had a really positive influence on Jair Alexander. And so once Tausch heard that I compared him to Woodson, then things went crazy. So I am not saying that he will be a three-time Pro Bowler or host a popular morning show, but there are some similarities to his game that make me encouraged by what he's capable of doing.
Jason, I know you weren't fully dialed into the defense, but I heard a lot about the pass rush and Lamar running for his life a little bit. Was that collectively as a unit, or did someone stand out?
No, I think that was collectively. I think it's important to, there were a couple of instances that I did see that were kind of coverage pressure. You can't say coverage sacks because they're not actually tackling the quarterback, but they were, he had to get out because he had nowhere to go with the ball. So, you know, I was talking to Keyshawn Nixon and Jair talked at the same time as Love did, so I didn't get to talk to him, but they both talked about how one of their focuses going into the practice was making sure that they plastered because of Lamar Jackson's ability to extend plays, obviously. And I think they accomplished that goal. Now, again, it is a practice. I preached, okay, it's just a practice. When they weren't very good in Denver,
I think it's important to kind of remind everyone it's just a practice when they had a really good day. But if their coverage, you've heard coaches say this a million times about how rush and coverage work in concert. If they can do that the way they did it yesterday, that is a really, really encouraging sign.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to be fascinated on how they cover tight ends in the NFC. Because when you look, you got Laporta, you got Hockenson, you have Kittle, you have who's Godfrey Crab. In Philadelphia, you got Komet, you know, because they really in the past, how do you think they're going to do it, Jason? Just change it up, or can McKinney cover?
I think McKinney can do it. I think, you know, I also think that there's this kind of mentality of looking for ways. They have to figure out a way to get Evan Williams on the field. Evan Williams, and I'm not just saying this because he's a Duck, has been really impressive. And I can't remember if I mentioned this to you guys last week or where I said it, but he wears 33, and he reminds me of Micah Hyde. And I actually went to him and said, hey, this is going to sound crazy because I'm an old guy around here, but, you know, did you ever watch any film of Micah Hyde, who played here? And he said, yeah, I watched him with Buffalo all the time, because he said he loved to watch safeties and try and pick up different things from guys who had made it. And we ended up having this whole conversation about Hyde, and I'm telling you, he's got, again, I just did it with Chewy, now I'm doing it with Micah, but there, when you do this for a really long time, you are able to recognize some of the similarities between guys, and it is definitely there with him. I mean, he had an interception yesterday that gave him 5 in training camp. Like, he just, you know, the best praise I ever heard of Micah, and I remember talking to Micah about it, was that guys would just say, he is a football player, which is one of the best things you can have said about you. And I think Evan Williams has that. And so the reason why I'm bringing him up is I think they're probably going to use some different packages defensively, where they're going to bring bring Evan Williams in at safety, and then take Bullard, who I still think is going to be the starter, obviously, and move him to one of the slot positions. Maybe sometimes it's, you know, if it's against a 2 tight end set, maybe they're going to, in a passing situation, they'll bring Evan Williams in, and then they'll put Bullard on one of the tight ends. I think they've got some flexibility there, and I think Bullard is a guy who, when he was at Georgia, spent an entire season as a slot guy, and he's not the biggest guy, but he's, like, built, and I think he's got the physicality that would allow him to play tight ends, even if they might have a size advantage on him a little bit. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. One of my pet peeves from training camp is, I think since they hired him, I think we've only talked to Halfley like 3 or 4 times. And I just have so many questions about what he's going to do that I'm eager for them to get to games where he's actually using his playbook, because I think they're going to be a really good system and scheme, but I just haven't had enough conversations with him to fully understand what he's going to do.
One quick one, Jason. Give me a grade on Jordan Love.
Yeah, look, he was kind of – they all keep downplaying the fact that the defense got the better of them for so much of camp. So I guess I'd give him like a B. But, look, as I said to Jordan yesterday, you guys did a hell of a lot of push-ups this camp. And his argument is how they're not game planning and whatever else. But I still –
well, neither is the defense.
Right. I you're preaching to the choir, buddy. But, again – they all say this, and my favorite was Jaden Reed, who has a really great personality, and, you know, I've gotten to know him a little bit, but he was giving me all kinds of grief for being a worrywart about this offense, and come on, we got Jay Love, we've got Wicks, we've got, and I mean, he just ran down the depth chart like I was some sort of idiot, and again, we'll see, 2 weeks from today, if when they're game planning for the Eagles offense, if we're giving Jordan Love an A grade and they're going out there and putting it on him in Brazil.
Jason, certainly appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions, too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now. Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
always love talking to Craig Karmazin, host of Sunday Karma, founder CEO of Good Karma Brands. Good morning, Craig.
And I will be back on Sunday Karma this week.
Ooh. Big news. Maybe I'll join you.
No, you won't.
I will be.
What is coming. is that the biggest lie Chewy tells, is that he's ever going to join you again on a Sunday morning show?
I don't think that's up there in the lies he tells, but it is a lie he consistently tells.
I love his drop where he says, I also know the most fiction, which is true, which is very true. Craig, do you believe in switches? And what I mean by that, because I brought the Bucks into...
Is this an Adrian Peterson question?
No.
Jesus.
I thought that's a stitch. That's a switch? I thought it was a stitch.
No, we can...
All right, we'll move
on. Moving
on. Moving on. So I said, you know, after the scrimmage yesterday where I said, me and Gabe said, all they got to do is have a push with the Ravens and I will feel good. So I really feel good this week. But it goes back to the Denver debacle or whatever you want to call it last week where they were clearly not ready to play. They weren't into it. They just thought they could flip a switch. And I said, it's kind of like the Bucks these last couple years where there's no switch where you get to the playoffs, and flip a switch and go. You have to be mentally into games all the time, and you got to practice well, or you're not going to perform well. And that's why I asked you, because I don't know if I think a part of fans think there's a switch that you can just turn on, and it doesn't work like that. Would you agree with me?
I don't know. I'm watching this Serena documentary on ESPN, the In the Arena Serena, and I don't know, in an individual sport, maybe there's a switch that can be flipped. I don't think you can do it in a team sport, though. And I don't think, I think a lot of times when people think a switch has been flipped, it's that a team has gotten healthy. But I don't think a team goes from, like, playing to just totally playing at a different level because it's the calendar flips. Now, obviously, the Denver game, people weren't playing. So I don't know that it'd be flipping a switch.
Yeah, but the practice was terrible, and they were all playing.
Yeah, because in 2024 NFL, Craig, I mean, these joint practices are the new preseason games for your starters.
Yeah, I'm not going to take too much out of even the joint practices. I mean, as long as, I used to hate that Rodgers wasn't playing in the things that mattered the most leading into the games because I thought it made the young receivers more nervous because they weren't actually playing with him. But I think now these guys are all around each other enough. So I don't know that I could take just throughout anything from the joint practices. I'm a switch flipper, I think. I think
it sounds like
gotten me to the point where I think you can flip a switch.
So you don't care that they look bad last week. You don't care that they look good yesterday. Your opinion of the Packers isn't really being colored by anything that happened in any of the preseason or anything that really happened in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't they come out and lose 40-0 to the Saints or whoever, and then they'd win, go 13-4, right? So obviously the switch would get flipped. So, like, I don't think you can take too much from the first game or the first workout, because I think they're going to be a good team, and I'm not going to take too much from a practice.
So if they start 2-3, you're not panicking, is essentially what you're saying. And I kind of agree with you from that standpoint, based upon what happened last year.
I mean, they're also not winning 13 games if they start 2-3.
Correct.
But I don't think it means they're going to go 8-9. But, I mean, so I do think those first, I think it's important that they're, win 3 or 4 of the first 5 if they're going to have a chance to win the division, because the division is good. So I don't think it's panicking that they're going to be bad, but for this team to win the division, I think they're going to have to be pretty consistent throughout the season.
Craig, you a week zero guy? You like, college football games that actually matter? Maybe head over to Pottawatomie, throw down a couple of bucks on a game?
I will be. I actually will be at the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana on Sunday, but I will definitely get the Pottawatomie and throw some money down on some games. I mean, it's so good to have football back, right? Week zero is great, and college football this year is going to be the best season like it's ever been. Just the new playoff brings so many teams into the mix. And I know it doesn't mean they're going to win the national championship, but the on-campus postseason, like, this is going to be the best college football season ever. So I'm so into this year of college football.
You know what? And we haven't addressed it. Angie brought it up. How did your little sleepover at the pancake place go? Did you do it?
No, I haven't done it yet. No,
what are you doing? Wait a minute. What's the name of the place?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I want to
know.
Say Bob Evans. It's not Bob Evans. It's...
Well, I don't know if he was
George
doing
Webb.
It.
George Webb.
I think he was going to do it at George Webb, but it's just any 24/7 diner.
He's bailing.
You're not bailing.
Yeah, you are bailing. I know you.
Dude, I've been traveling. I'm not even in the country right now, and I'm following through and on the phone with you guys. I am not bailing. I'm going to follow through on this stuff. And when I'm in town and when it works, I wanted to do it, but I was told I couldn't do it because it was like after the DNC or after the RNC and the marketing team had worked too much. And like, I have to do it when the marketing team tells me I'm allowed to do it.
Wait, so where in the world are you?
I am in Coco Cay right now.
Oh, I love. I was just in Coco Cay. It's lovely.
Yeah, you guys had the debate on if cruises are a good thing or not.
Are you on a Virgin cruise?
I'm in Royal Caribbean.
Oh, he's big time.
I've never done a cruise.
I could live in Coco Cay.
Could you guys give me a pitch on why a cruise would be good? Like my wife
because
and I should
you don't
go on
have
a cruise.
To, you why? Don't have to change hotel rooms. Okay.
Exactly.
You don't have to change. You don't have to worry about dinner. The meals on cruise ships now are excellent, right, Craig?
Oh my God, there's so many different choices. It's amazing, and you can you would order room service if you want for everything.
Yeah.
Like you can do any. Like you have like 50 different experiences, and I think Chewy said the best thing. Like you can go to like 5-6 different countries and never have to pack and unpack and
awesome.
Like, do all that stuff.
Yeah. Cruises are wonderful now.
Excellent. Craig, Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, the last two games haven't gone their way, but for whatever reason, I just feel different about this team as we get closer to September, start getting closer to the postseason. I fully believe in this team and believe in their postseason chances, despite them being, I would say, an unconventional team.
Dude, I believe so much in this team as well. I think what we saw last year, though, with the Dodgers and the Phillies, right, is that you can be the best team, and in baseball it doesn't mean you're going to advance, but everything we've seen from this team, like they are a deep enough team that it's not like a few years ago where it's like, oh, they might get to the postseason and just like not hit, right? Like they had the year against the Braves and they had the year against the Dodgers where they literally just couldn't hit. I believe so much more in this team than those teams, even without Christian Yelich. They've proven, you look at run differential, Gabe, right?
Yeah.
Like they've proven to be as good as any team in baseball for over two-thirds of the year. I mean, they're as good as any team in baseball, and I don't know how they've done it, and I don't know how you do it without, you know, the starting pitching that the Phillies have, but, I mean, this team's unbelievable.
Are they going to get overshadowed by the Packers, though? I mean, like the Yankees, you know the Giants stink, right?
And, yeah.
So they're not going to get overshadowed by the Giants.
They are going to get completely overshadowed in the month of September by the Packers,
yes.
Which is why I was saying in August, I felt like fans were not doing a good enough job of getting into the Brewers, because we know September is going to be owned by the Packers and to some degree even the Badgers, right? Badger football.
Yeah.
And let's throw Badger volleyball in the mix, right? So all that stuff's going to kick in. So that's why I think like now is when people have to go so huge with the Brewers, because sure, September, you're going to look at the Packers a little more. But, I mean, once it gets to October, the focus will be there. But I do agree, September, you know,
yeah,
it's
if the Brewers
for fans to take the foot off the baseball, gas a little bit.
If the Brewers are playing in the NLCS, they'll get
It'll
a lot of
huge.
Focus. It'll be huge. Like,
I agree.
If they don't get a bye, and I would even say this, Craig, I think there's a possibility, especially because of the way that the wild card round went for the Brewers last year. Like, if they're just playing in the wild card round, they could get overshadowed. But you get past that, and there's going to be excitement. There's going to be buzz.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just mentioned it. That is why right now every game matters so much. And, you know, two nights ago was such a tough loss. Oof. But they've won so many of those, and I'm not going to kill Devin Williams for having one just awful appearance. But, I mean, they're right there with the Dodgers and Phillies for that bye. And that was one of those things throughout the whole year no one considered, right? It was like, okay, they were fifth out of five in the NL Central to win the division. Then they were leading the division. It's like, oh, can they actually pull off the division? Now they have the largest lead in all of Major League Baseball in a single division and are right there to potentially get a bye. So every game does matter a ton right now.
But is it all gravy, though, even if they don't make the NLCS? Because expectations were not very high going into the season. Is it all gravy?
No, I'm of this thinking, Chu. Anytime you have a team that's this good, because they are this good, like Craig said, you got to take advantage when you're this good. Like, there's going to be some disappointment if there's not, like, an NLCS appearance, because I think they are that good. Like, I always relate this back to 2010. I'm working in Madison doing a show with Jim Rutledge, who does Rutledge and Hamilton and Molly now, and he was like, oh, I don't care that the Bears lost the NFC Championship game. We're ahead of schedule. What have the Bears done since 2010?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah,
like,
right.
You don't know. Like, every season is just so different and unique. And when you are this good, we've got to take advantage. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see if they do take advantage.
But no matter what, Chewy, you're right. Like, it's an incredible season that was way over expectations. But remember, like, Arizona went to the World Series last year. Like, you don't have to. It's not the NBA where you have to, like, lose in the first round, then go to the second round, then go, like, in baseball, you can just, like, have a hot postseason and go to the World Series. Like, there's no reason why it can't happen.
But I look at it, like,
even though, no matter what, it's gravy, and I think it is gravy.
Yeah, I agree.
Change the fact that you can go to the World Series.
Because, Craig, because the Packers could have lost to Dallas in Dallas last year, and you would still say, great season. Great season than making the playoffs, because we thought they were going to go 6-11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I understand
absolutely.
What you're saying, though, as far as you're like, this good, you got to catch it.
The Packers could have lost to the Steelers, and we would have said, oh, Aaron's going to win 3-4 Super
Correct.
Bowls.
Yeah.
So it was gravy this year, and they're going to win a lot of Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. And going back to Gabe's point, like, that's what you just never know. Like, we never, none of us, like, with the I assume there was Twitter, it was invented, whatever the poll was that week where it was like, how many Super Bowls is Aaron going to win now that he's gotten his first with the Packers? I don't know if one was even going to be a choice, right? I'm sure it was like 2, 3, 4, or 5. And so you just can never count on it. And that's why sports is so awesome and why every postseason is just so, especially in baseball, is just so like joyfully stressful.
Craig, always appreciate it. Look forward to hearing the return of Sunday Karma coming up this weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Craig Karmazin joins us each and every week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. You can get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. That's 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for over 60 years. Race to your local Ewald for this deal ends pretty soon here, August 31st. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have five safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Two field goals, two
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Right now, it is your cue to call. Because here at ESPN Milwaukee, we'd love to send you to great events. And it's right now, your chance to see Third Eye Blind. Coming up on Saturday, August 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel as part of their Amplified Concert Series. So caller number 7, caller 7, 800-990-3776, gets a four-pack of tickets to see Third Eye Blind. Check out full contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContests.com. Third Eye Blind, August 31st, Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. You're probably going to see me there. I'm going to be there checking out Third Eye Blind. Caller 7, 800-990-3776, gets four tickets to see Third Eye Blind. August 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in 2 minutes.